Okay, thank you, everybody. We have two more cases to hear this morning. U.S. versus Biggs Farley at 21-80-13, and we'll hear from Mr. Lee. But you're on mute.
Good morning, Your Honors. Josh Lee again, and this time for Mr. Farley. Mr. Farley has challenged his 52-and-a-half-year sentence on both substantive and procedural grounds. But what I'd like to focus on this morning, unless the court steers me in a different direction, is the sentencing guidelines issue. And specifically, Mr. Farley's claim that the district court misapplied the sentencing guidelines table. So the parties in this case proposed a sentence of not more than 40 years. And the sentencing transcript shows that at least one reason the court rejected the 40-year sentence is because the court thought that that would require an extreme 9 or 10 level variance. But that's not right. If you look at the sentencing guidelines table, you could get to a 40-year sentence based on a 1 level downward variance. A 9 or 10 level downward variance would actually get you to a sentence of about 15 years, not 40 years. Along the same line.
Did the court say 9 or 10 departures? I was a little confused about that.
Yes. So at page 63 of the volume 3 of the record, the court says, Mr. Prosecutor, the 40-year sentence you're asking for would require a downward variance of 10 levels. I want to know, what are the exceptional circumstances in this case that would justify a variance of that magnitude? Then at page 83 of the record on appeal, the court said, well, I said 10, but it's actually 9 because the judge was thinking you start with level 42. The court also said, I think a 52-and-a-half-year sentence is appropriate because it gives the defendant a 6-level downward variance to account for the really extraordinary mitigating circumstances in this case. But that's also plainly incorrect, because a 6-level variance would get you about a 17-and-a-half-year sentence rather than a 52-and-a-half-year sentence. So what becomes apparent from the record is that the court was thinking what it needed to do was impose, when you look at the sentencing guideline table, what you need to do is impose the sentence in the box 3 times over. And the easiest way to see this is the court said that it was giving a 6-level variance. 6-level variance is 17.5 years. And if you take 17.5 3 times over for the 3 counts, you get 52-and-a-half years, which is what the judge imposed. The problem with that is that it is plain that the sentencing guidelines table provides a single sentence for the totality of counts. So if you look at, for example, the commentary to section 1B1.11 of the sentencing guidelines, it says, quote, under the guideline sentencing system, a single sentencing range is determined based on the defendant's overall conduct, even if there are multiple counts of conviction. So here you had multiple counts and multiple victims, but the guideline range already accounted for that. So you wouldn't impose the guideline sentence 3 times over. A whole purpose of a large swath of the sentencing guidelines, including Chapter 3's grouping rules, is to roll together one sentence based on the totality of the defendant's conduct. The guidelines just never say that you impose the sentence in the sentencing table 3 times over. Now, one of the things that the government says is that, well, the judge was kind of using the guidelines loosely. or by analogy, as if to calculate a per count range. So I sort of have two responses to that. The first is that it would be arbitrary to do that because the guidelines are not designed to return per count sentences. But the second is that that's just not what the district court did. The district court never calculated separate ranges for each of the three counts. So the guideline range that the district court used rolled together all three of the counts, and it did that in at least two ways. First, the guideline range the district court used encompassed a three-level upward adjustment from subchapter 3D because there were three convictions. And it incorporated a five-level upward adjustment from chapter 4 because there were multiple instances of abuse. So that's the range that the court was imposing three times over, not separate sentences for counts. So if what the judge wanted to do was to get per count sentences, the judge would have needed to remove these multiple count and multiple victim enhancements. But the district court never did that. And that's how we know that the court didn't use the guidelines in this way the government suggests.
Don't the number of months that she used and arrived at jive better with the government's story than yours? I mean, you had your plea agreement with agreed upon sentencing range, which the district court clearly thought was not enough. And sort of your position of what she did, at least as I crunched the numbers, would have put her down below that. And obviously, that's not what she was considering. I mean, surely you can't be claiming that she was attempting to craft a sentence that would be lower than she already told you wasn't enough. And if you take the way the government explains that it all came out, the numbers hit right on the spot. I mean, I realize you don't think that's a proper application of the guidelines, but wasn't she allowed to use the guidelines in sort of a loose way to craft a sentence that she thought was appropriate?
Yes, if you do that, you have to use the guidelines in a sensible way. And that there I go back to, I agree with the government that what she did was take this guideline sentence, go down and impose it three times over. What I dispute is that that was a reasonable thing to do, because if she thought she was varying six levels per count, then the judge needed to calculate separate ranges for each offense. And so, for example, if you calculate separate ranges for each offense, you don't start at a level 42. For all three counts, you start at a level below 42. And if you start at this offense level, it would be 39 for count one, 41 for count two, and 37 for the third count. If you then do the six-level downward variance from that, you end up with a sentence of about 45 years, not 52 and a half years. So it's arbitrary to treat the guideline sentence that was calculated based on the totality of the counts as if it were calculated for each count individually, when it clearly wasn't calculated that way. So I think if that's what the district court would have wanted to do, is to get separate sentences, then it needed to calculate separate ranges, and it didn't do that. The district court's guidelines error also affected Mr. Farley's substantial rights, because it's clear from the record that the number of offense levels that would be required to reach a certain sentence really mattered to the district court. So, for example, the district court indicated twice that one of the major problems the district court had with a 40-year sentence is that it required the court to vary downward by so many levels. So what the court was saying is, wow, there's a lot of mitigation, but I don't see how I can go all the way down to offense level 33. But if the district court had understood I could get to a 40-year sentence or a 45-year sentence only going down one level, I wouldn't have to go all the way down to offense level 33. There's a reasonable likelihood that the district court would have imposed a different sentence. Another way that you can tell that the district court's plainly erroneous offense level reasoning affected Mr. Farley's substantial rights is that the sentence the judge imposed was 52 and a half years, which is a very specific sentence and not one that you get to absent this reasoning about offense levels. The court also, and I discussed this earlier, the court also might have imposed a lower sentence if it had understood that it could basically get everything that it wanted and impose a 45-year sentence. So what the court says is, I want consecutive sentences for each of these counts, and I want to vary downward by no more than six levels. And a six-level variance per count, if the court had calculated per count ranges, would be a sentence of about 45 years, not 52 and a half years. So in short, this court has said that a procedurally reasonable sentence is one that's calculated according to a reasonable method. And here, we don't have a sentence that was calculated in a non-arbitrary way. And so the court should vacate and remand the sentence as procedurally unreasonable. And if there aren't any questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Melissa, let's stop Mr. Lee's clock. Judge Abell, do you have any questions?
No.
Judge Carson, do you?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We'll hear from Mr. Forwood.
Good morning again, Your Honors. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. The first thing that I need to address with the court is something that Mr. Lee pointed out in his reply brief, and it was a mistake that I made in our brief, and that was in the substantive reasonableness of the sentence on page 28. Responding to this, I myself personally worked on the Justin Brown case that was argued in front of this court about 3 years ago. The law there is perfectly applicable here. I use that law. I, however, failed to omit a sentence in there that states he argues that the court erred by imposing an unreasonable sentence on the defendant by not considering all mitigation and articulating a thorough analysis under 18 United States Code, Section 3553A. That is not stated. That was in Justin Brown. That is a horrible mistake on my part. It's embarrassing, and I apologize to the court.
Thank you. I'll just tell you, we're all fallible. We've all made mistakes, and I wouldn't call it horrible.
I've been killing myself ever since I read that in Mr. Lee's reply, so I apologize. To address Mr. Lee's points regarding plein air, beginning with, I think the plein air portion of his argument and the air portion are all very similar related and are kind of interchangeable in the argument. I believe they are. And it all comes down to, as he stated here just a second ago, is what was the judge trying to do with her sentence? What we see, what is clear as day, is that the party's sentence of no more than 40 years was insufficient for the judge, was not good enough. She told us in chambers that she believed a 60-year sentence was appropriate. So beginning then, we know that 40 was not enough, 60 was where she was at. She ended up coming somewhere in the middle at 52 and a half. Now, the question then is how she got there. Mr. Lee's argument is that she did not come to this in a sensible way. I will state that the judge, by the theory purported by the United States, the judge could have done it in a more artful manner. She could have said, I'm looking at this at a per count, I am looking at it, and just said those things explicitly. She did not. But what we can understand from the record is that she viewed the conduct as heinous, that each of these victims needed to be treated individually, and that she wanted to look at those sentences individually. So for Judge Friedenthal then to come to that conclusion, she wanted to vary down per count and have those go there. And that is where that...
No, I didn't mean to talk over you. I did have a question.
And that is where the 10, 9, 6 level variance... It's a and I concede as well with Mr. Lee that the variance that she talks about is much more than was actually needed. But what the judge was attempting to do was try to come about some sort of way to articulate a manner that made sense. Mr. Lee states that it was not done in a sensible way. I think it was. Judge was trying to use...
It may have been perfect if the legal inquiry is what would King Solomon have done. What would have been sensible, what would have been fair. But we know from what the Supreme Court has told us any number of times is that a judge is supposed to start with the sentencing guidelines and then calculate the guideline range, apply the 3553 factors, and then decide what is sensible, what is appropriate based on the balancing of those seven factors in 3553A. And what I hear you saying is, well, the judge decided to do something different. The judge decided to say, okay, I'm going to get everybody in chambers. You guys said 40 years. I'm not going to do what the Supreme Court has told us to do. I'm just telling you 60 years is really more fair. And now I'm going to work backwards to try to get to that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the sentencing guidelines and I'm going to play with those. And I'm going to pretend that those are per count guideline ranges. We know from what everybody has conceded is that's just not how the guidelines work. You're supposed to calculate a guideline range. And then to make it even more egregious is the judge says, okay, well, I can't go along with this 40-year sentence because that would require a downward variance of 9 levels. That's a crazy downward variance. And as Mr. Lee points out, and you don't dispute this, is no, it's actually a 1-level variance. And so the whole thing, the whole defense based on this is what, and I'm not being critical of the district court by any means, but it seems to me that in this case, with the greatest of intentions, what the district judge did was decide to do something completely counter to what the Supreme Court has told us that a sentencing judge is supposed to do. You're supposed to start with the guideline ranges, with the guidelines to calculate an applicable guideline range, and then later decide what to vary, but not to do it backwards. What's wrong with that theoretical criticism of what the district court did?
I can't really disagree much with what you're saying, Your Honor. And I think the way I would respond to that is that the judge, no one contends that the judge calculated the guidelines correctly. She absolutely calculated them correctly. It was her variance that she calculated incorrectly. And what I think is incredibly difficult about this case in particular compared to a typical case where someone, let's say someone's guideline sentence begins at a 30. What's different about this case is that Mr. Farley's guideline number was so high. It was a level 52. That was the highest one for me personally that I have seen in my time practicing in the U.S. Attorney's Office. So varying down is incredibly difficult. There's already a large variance that was granted before she made her variance. She noted that as well in her statement.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to pick on you or interrupt you, but what Mr. Lee points out, I think he's right, is he didn't have a 52 level, base offense level. There's no such thing as a 52 offense, base level offense. It was a 43. So there was,
and that's a, where, and that's
43. It was, it was a 43.
Oh, pardon?
There wasn't a variance down to 43, to use the terminology of the guidelines. It was a 43.
And Your Honor, you're absolutely correct. In all the technicalities, you're correct. For me, it's looking at it from the former state prosecutor, from the thousand-foot view of where this person's conduct is so high that it's off the charts.
Right.
And that is what the judge is dealing with. And it's not a variance. It's what the guidelines say. That it's that if you're here, it's the whatever the guideline range is, which is 1,080 months. And the judge from there was trying to figure out some sort of way to do a variance. And I think had she done her wording more specifically towards what the government believes, I don't think we'd be having this issue. We would not say that there was error or there was plain error. I don't think that'd be the issue. So the United States is trying to determine how the judge did it. And I think from what she stated on the record, we can determine that is what she was attempting to do, was look at it per count, vary from there. Even though those parts might not be accurate, that was her justification for a variance. And that's one of the big things too. It's not the calculation.
Well, it seems to me like she really had two desires. She wanted to avoid the grouping requirement of the guidelines, and she wanted to calculate individually for each victim because she thought they earned that, deserved that. But the second thing was she wasn't willing to give a enormous departure. There was some sensibility that she had about what was just beyond the range of propriety. The former objective, I think she accomplished very well. But I think the record does indicate she was truly confused about the second of those motivations. I just don't think it supports her worldview of the degree of departure that she would have to go to give a lower sentence than she chose. So I think it's hard on this record to conclude that that error might not have affected her, because it was clearly one of the two things that animated her. I mean, her emotional response to, oh gosh, we can't have a huge variance, indicated that that was really a pretty important factor for her.
And Your Honor, if I may with that, I actually think the strongest part of the United States argument is actually prong three, which is that it affected his substantial rights. I think that is our strongest argument. The reason being is that the burden is on the defendant to show that if this were to go back to the district court, that he would receive a different sentence. And what we can tell is that the judge properly counted the guidelines. One thing she also stated is that she compared his conduct with others' conduct. His co-defendant, who was his husband, Ray Lucero, received the guideline sentence of 1,080 months. Lucero's criminal history was different because he had a previous conviction for similar type of conduct. He was older. There was an argument by defense that he manipulated Mr. Farley, which the judge agreed with. So the judge took that into account. She saw a person that was more culpable and gave him a more serious sentence. When she saw what was proposed by the government of going from 1,080 months to 480 months, going down 600 months, almost 60%, that was too drastic for her. The final number she came up with was a reduction in his sentence of almost 50%. That is still an incredibly large variance. I know one thing that I see in Mr. Lee's reply brief is that he talks about I couldn't understand what he said at first, but as I read it, I understood better, because Lucero received the much higher sentence than Farley. But what Mr. Lee said is that Farley's sentence is actually more, because Lucero will die in prison, but he's older. Farley will probably die in prison, but since he's younger, he'll spend more time in prison. I disagree with this logic a little bit, but I'll let him defend that. But I think the point of that, though, Your Honor, is that Mr. Farley has a very distinct chance to get out of prison while he is in his 60s. He has a chance to leave prison. For what is particularly heinous conduct, abusing three very small children that he was in charge of, that he was related to. They did it for over 2 years, that he was sharing with other people. His co-defendant received that guideline sentence, which is a de facto life sentence. The other co-defendant who was receiving these child pornography images received a guideline sentence for receipt of child pornography. And in my time here, that's the only time I've actually seen the judges not vary a sentence was in that particular case. So she did not vary for those two defendants. He is the only one that she varied for. And it was for those reasons. It was the ones that she stated was for remorse and mental and emotional condition. So she did find reason to vary, and it was a rather significant variance. If this were to go back, the only thing that would change is that the judge would just say 40 months is not enough. I believe 52 and a half months is the appropriate amount of time. Nothing can be shown to be any different. And that also goes to the fourth prong as well, which I also think is incredibly strong for the United States. It talks about the fairness and the integrity of the judicial system. Many times the third and fourth prong are hand in hand. This time they're actually a little bit different, because here we're saying, what is going to be shown? And I agree that Rosales-Morales says that essentially they are the same. But what is different there is that the guidelines were calculated properly. She issued a variance. The fairness and integrity of the judicial system is intact with the sentence that she provided, because she reduced it by a significant amount, giving him a practical chance to still come out of prison at one point in time in his life. Therefore, the third and fourth prongs are not satisfied, and those two fail. Are there any additional questions from your honors?
No.
I don't have anything. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Forwood. Okay, Mr. Lee, you have 3 minutes and 9 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to sort of echo what I said in Mr. Astorga's argument, and that is that the third prong of plain error review is not the same as legal sufficiency. So here, contrary to what the government is suggesting, the question is not whether Mr. Farley's ultimate sentence is fair. It's not whether the district court could impose this sentence. It's whether we can be confident that but for the error, the district court would impose the same sentence. And we can't be confident. So, I do think, Judge Bacharach, it was apt when you said when you suggested that, we can't assume that the district court worked backwards. We can't assume that the district court started with 52 and a half months and then just backfilled this explanation. And the reason is the district court told us multiple places in the record, the reason I can't accept this sentence, one of the reasons I can't accept a 40-year sentence is it would require a 9-level variance. One of the reasons this 52 and a half year sentence is appropriate is it gives him a 6-level variance. That was incorrect. That's why the district court tells us it imposed that sentence, and we need to take the district court at its word. There's not a basis to think that the district court would reach exactly 52 and a half years without this offense level reason. And all we have to show is a reasonable probability that the district court would have landed somewhere beneath 52 and a half years. We don't have to show that the district court would have imposed 40 years or 45 years, but anything below 52 and a half years. And based on what the district court told us, why it told us it did what it did, I think that we can meet the third and the fourth prongs of plain error. And if there aren't any further questions, I yield the remainder of my time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. Judge Abell, do you have anything for Mr. Lee?
No.
Judge Carson, do you?
I don't, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Forward and Mr. Forward and Mr. Lee. This too was very well argued, both in your briefs and in your arguments today. So thank you for your excellent work. This matter is submitted.